You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
It is Thursday, which means we are live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie. The wings, the wraps, the burgers, the meatball sliders, all delicious. Cajun goat's actually at the bar right now having fun chatting with Zoe. Stopping by, having a little lunch. We'll talk to him here in a little bit. We'll talk to Jason Giles of the King Firm and from Vinny's here in a quick sec about a big fight that's happening on Saturday. You can come watch it right here if you know what I'm talking about. UFC right here over at Vinny's. So we'll tell you about all the fun that's going to be happening here on Saturday. As again, you can't miss it. Plus, don't forget the PFL fight that's on Friday. Andre Harrison stopped by the studio earlier this week and challenged Jordan the intern, and Jordan the intern ran. No, I'm kidding. He didn't. Nick DeLaTorre. Over at Gator Country, covers the Florida Gators, the beat right over there. Follow them at Gator Country on Twitter. If you want to follow him, it's Nick DeLaTorre, GC, the way to do so. Nick, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing well. Thank you for having me on.
For sure, man. Hey, we had Chris Blair on, the voice of the Tigers, and we've had people on throughout the week to talk LSU as well. We see it as a rivalry, right? Do the people in Florida see it as a rivalry, this game?
Yeah, I say so. I think it comes after probably the more natural rivals. So, you know, after Tennessee, after Georgia, being the two SEC East teams, and then after FSU. But I certainly see it as a rivalry. And I think certainly with the years, recent years, with everything that happened with the hurricane and moving the games and kind of the back and forth between the schools, I definitely see LSU being, you know, looked at as a rival with the fan base.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. The last couple of years kind of amped it up a little bit. And that's what I was going to ask you. Is it different now that the coaches are not the same and all of that? Or because what took me, Nick, and I know you were probably not a part of it, but you definitely saw this. I mean, media people went after media people from each city, ADs, politicians. It was incredible in the last 2 years. It was everybody against everybody. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I think the big thing Florida fans took exception to is if people, I'm from South Florida originally, so I'm used to hurricanes. And I think people in New Orleans, in Baton Rouge, and the people of Louisiana are used to hurricanes. So I think that's where Florida fans were at. You've been through this. You should know, you know, the devastation that a hurricane can do. So I think they kind of took it personally in that aspect. But, yeah, it kind of pit everyone against everyone in this rivalry. And, you know, right. The last of those, you know, Gainesville games that we have before we go back down to Baton Rouge, which I look forward to because I love going down there and eating.
I hear you, man. Look, when you look at this rivalry, especially the last two trips down there, LSU's won both the last two times, but they've been, what, 3 points, 30-27 in 2014, and 1 point last year, 17-16. I mean, Vegas, right? 2-3, 2.5 now today. It's fluctuating. A lot of people thinking this could be a close game as well. When you look at Florida so far up until this point being 4-1, for the folks over here in Louisiana, what kind of football team are the Gators?
I kind of look, I spent a bunch of time watching LSU's game, and I think it's two teams that are very similar. You're going to need to run the football. Both teams will try to do that. And then you've got a quarterback where you're comfortable with them, but you don't think that they're going to go out and win me a football game. And I think Joe Burrow has been good. But if you get into a situation where you need to throw the ball, you need to throw the ball 25, 30 times, you start feeling, I don't know if that's the way we're going to win a game. And I think that's how Florida fans feel about Felipe Franks right now. So I think these teams are very similar. They're going to want to run the ball. Florida's throwing the ball a little more, I think, than I would have expected them to before the year. But then, again, two nasty defenses. They're fast, big, physical. So I think it's, you know, kind of like last year where it might be the first one to, you know, score a touchdown, the first one to score two touchdowns wins this game.
You know, one of the things, speaking with Nick DeLaTorre, Gator Country covers the Gators here. One of the things that I think it will be interesting too is you mentioned the two quarterbacks, right? And statistically, that's what I've heard. I wouldn't even say complaints about Joe Burrow. It's just people, look at the stats and all. Whereas to me, I'm like, dude, it's been forever since an LSU quarterback can move the offense in and out of the huddle where you don't, you know, hold one hand over your eye and the other open when the pass is thrown. Felipe Franks, how is he handling learning the Dan Mullen offense?
Week by week, it's being better. Obviously, the first week he throws five touchdown passes, but you're not playing against anybody. Then struggled in week two, and I think a lot of people wrote kind of Florida off for dead after they lost to Kentucky for the first time in three-plus decades. But each week, it seems like Dan Mullen and John Hevesy and Andoy Gonzalez, they all kind of come together to make the game plan. It seems like they've, through each week and seeing what he can do, have taken things out that they've asked him to do that he wasn't necessarily good at. So I think each week you're seeing them add things in that, okay, he's understanding this part of our offense a little bit more. Let's put that back into the game plan and taking things out that he wasn't doing well. That's probably, to me, the biggest indicator of being a good coach is not saying, well, here's our offense, so run our offense. And it's, okay, well, here's our offense, but he can't do this particularly well. Let's stop asking him to do that, because we're not going to be successful that way. So I think the biggest thing that I've seen with Felipe and what has helped his growth is the coaches are probably putting him in a position to be more successful. And as he gets more confident, you know, winning a couple of road games in a row, they're adding in a little bit more, and he seems to be handling that better and better each week.
All right, final question for you. I always ask people, you know, what do you think would be the keys for a Florida win and such? I'll ask you that, but maybe in this area. Is there a player or two that you think if they have big games on Saturday, it'll bring home a Gator win?
Yeah, I'd probably put Felipe Franks in that category. I think LSU will be able to stop the run, or at least limit the run. Florida hasn't run with a ton of success this year, so, you know, kind of like I said earlier, it might be a situation where you don't want to put the game on Felipe Franks' shoulder, but I think if it comes down to that and he has a good game, then Florida will come away with the win. But this is going to be a typical LSU Florida game where that one mistake or a big special teams play, a turnover, can kind of swing the momentum and swing the tide of this game.
Sounds good. At Gator Country is the way to go. Follow Gator Country. He's a Florida Gators beat writer for them, Nick Dilatori. Follow him on Twitter at Nick Dilatori GC is the way to do so. Thanks for your time this afternoon, man. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Have a good one, guys.
Yep, for sure. Take care. Jason Giles of the King Firm, and of course, also of Vinny's. We're going to talk about the fight here in a quick second, but you were listening to that about what the Gators can sort of do. The quarterbacks, it's an interesting standpoint and take of it, right? Because he said maybe right now it's not the, hey, go out and win us a game. Do you think that is coming with LSU? I guess I'll ask you, do you think Joe Burrow is a quarterback that LSU could say, okay, the run's being stopped, go out there and win us the game? See, I do. I thought that drive against Auburn, he made the right decisions. He made throws down deep in the red zone where they either be out of bounds or a catch. He's made a couple of third down conversions, some good throws over the middle in coverage. That opening drive against Auburn, I thought he made some good, you know, throws and drives. I don't know. I don't get that sense and feel. I'm like, I don't trust him. That's not me right now.
I trust him. We talked about this. I was at the Auburn game on the field when he made that 4th-and-7 pass completion that set up the winning field goal. And what was impressive about it is how calm he was. He didn't get out of sorts. I mean, he just sat back, relaxed, made an amazing throw. LSU for a long time has had a lot of quarterbacks when they won championships even that you knew the quarterback wouldn't lose them the game and maybe would make a play. I think this kid can make plays. I'm still worried about this game, but I think, like you said, he's a guy you can say go win.
Speaking of winning Saturday, people love the USC. Got a big old fight coming up this weekend, and why is Vinny's the place to come check out the fight?
Well, because we'll be one of the only places that'll have it. So let's start there.
Exactly right.
You know, it's hard to.
It's not
free. It's $5 a person, right. But a lot of bars don't do it because it costs so much to broadcast.
It really honestly
these.
Does. Yeah.
It does, uh-huh. But, you know, I've been an MMA lover for a long time. I've done judo and jiu-jitsu for almost 20 years now, and we've got a lot of customers who love MMA. So you're going to come watch it with people here who know the sport, like the sport, who have been involved in the sport a long time. It's who, you know, it's, you don't want to be the only guy watching a fight at, you know, at a bingo match. You want to be in a bar where everybody else here wants to watch a fight. And there's also going to be football games going on because, like, we got so many TVs here. We could pretty much watch anything you want. You could even put some Golden Girls on in the back.
Yeah, no doubt.
It
just, you got a pretty sweet card here as well. And what does it start, 9 o'clock?
I think it kicks off at 9.
It's Conor McGregor is the main event. So he's back in the octagon. And, you know, back and forth whether or not you'll see him fight again with Mayweather in a boxing match. I know there was a rumor of him maybe going into the octagon, Mayweather. I don't see that ever
happening.
That's
not going to happen.
Yes. But, look. I think a lot of people want to see Conor get back in.
They do.
And see what he can do.
And
he's
Khabib,
a draw.
He's a definite, he is a card draw, and he is fighting a guy who is a monster. I mean, Khabib is a great fighter. He's aggressive. He's fast. He's young.
I think with a name like Khabib, you need to be a UFC fighter, huh?
I don't know. I don't want him to be my doctor. But he's great. He's a good fighter. This will be
Nurmagomedov.
A very, very good challenge for Conor McGregor to see if after 2 years in no octagon where he stands. And the rest of the card's pretty doggone good, too. You've got Tony Ferguson on this card. You've got Ovince St. Preux, who may not sound like he would be a tough guy, but is a big, big, strong light heavyweight. So it's going to be a good night.
Be fun. And again, come by over here and check it out. Be one of the few places that actually has the fight. And you can enjoy the happy hour beforehand.
You can enjoy the happy hour before 3 to 7. Watch the undercard because the undercard will probably start around 7.
What time does LSU Florida start?
Don't know.
2:30.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, is it a day game again?
Yeah, 2:30.
Yeah.
And what time is happy hour? 3.
3.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
see what I just said there? Yeah. You can come watch the LSU game, enjoy happy hour prices, and go right into UFC.
And here's the good thing. At 2:30, it starts because we still have our wings. We have our buckets of beer specials.
There you go.
We have Corona. I mean, look, we got specials all day for the football game anyway.
Exactly. So come on by 3217 Ridgelake Drive, 18th in Ridgelake. It's one street off of Causeway heading towards Bonneville. You know where it's at. When we come back, Todd Graffanini, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, will join us. We'll preview Tulane and Cincinnati. As we continue with our Voices Thursday, we like to talk to the people that call the games or cover these teams and get you going into it here in a little bit. Still plenty to come as well. Lee Sterling, bottom of the hour. We'll do some odds with him. And then Garland Gillen, next hour, Jason and Garland and myself will go through some picks. He's been reading all morning, going over games. You don't even know what games we're doing. Look at you.
It's okay. I'm not worried.
Yeah. Well, you haven't done so well that first 2 weeks. But so let's see.
Why are we going to bring
Don't
that
call
up?
It a comeback. See what I did there? Fighting. Yeah.
Like
see
that.
How I just did that?
Thank
there
you.
We go. Sports Hangover continues next with The Graph on ESPN New Orleans.
New Friend Building Materials has been around since 1955 and is growing every year. We continue to be a proud family company in our second generation ownership and working on the third. We do our best to cover all your building needs while providing top-notch customer service and priding ourselves on not letting you leave without a smile. From small birdhouses to hotels and apartment complexes, there's no job too big or too small for us to handle. Our four convenient locations to serve you include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Belchase, and Slidell. So come stop by and see how we can help you and have a blessed day.
Vision Communications now offers faster internet in your area with download speeds of up to 25 megs per second. Get the reliability and speed your family needs for online video, telecommuting, and powering multiple devices throughout your home. Connect with friends, play games, or surf the web with the fastest internet speeds in our area. Go to viscom.net or call 798-7956 to learn more. Actual speeds vary, not available in all areas.
Kaboom! It's a blowout sale at Homeless Clayton Homes. Single wide start as low as $36,000. And double wide start at $55,000. Multiple installation packages are available. Visit Homeless Clayton Homes on Facebook to schedule your appointment today. These ain't your grandma's trailers. Don't miss out on the best deal of the year. Dial 985-872-2850. That's 985-872-2850. If your old trailer house has got to go...
If pests are pestering you, call the experts at Terminix. They'll rid your home or business of disease-carrying rats, mice, roaches, spiders, even crazy ants. Call your local pest control experts at Terminix for a free inspection. Terminix also offers home insulation. In La Rose, call 693-3152. That's 693-3152. 693-3152. Terminix, power over pests.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
What?
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
All right. 32-17, Ridgelake. You know the hardest thing, Joey, about obviously doing the show is a plate of fresh wings being brought to you. So
yeah, I have that every day.
Yeah, no, exactly. So what happens now when we bring in the voice of the Green Wave, Todd Graffanini, I'll just ask him a long-winded question and just continue to eat my wings. So, Todd, tell us about the win last week. No, I'm kidding. What's going on, Todd?
And how then?
Never eat on the air, Gus. Never eat on the air.
No, exactly. I hear you. But in all seriousness, it is where we need to start. You mentioned it several times during the broadcast. Don't pinch me. As Tulane scored, continued to score, and eventually put up 40 on a team that had beaten them 11 straight years. What was that? I mean, as you're calling the game, when did it hit you that, yeah, they're actually going to beat Memphis?
Boy. I guess when Corey Dauphine went around the right side and kind of planted his foot and took off and they weren't going to catch him. And, boy, and you were basically, he was coming right into you on the sideline. I know you had a really good look at it. But when that happened, it was like, wow, this actually could happen. Because it's been such a long time since Tulane beat Memphis. I mean, you want to put it in a Tulane historical sense, Tulane had not gone to the World Series in baseball the last time Tulane beat Memphis in football. So just kind of wrap that around your head a little bit if you're a Tulane fan. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun, and you just hope that they can build on it and continue what we saw last Friday night into what's going to be a very important game on Saturday morning.
You know, to get to that win on Monday, Todd, a lot of different things had to take place. And for starters, I thought from the get-go, the stats may not show it because of some drops, but I thought Jonathan Banks played a great game.
He did. He was decisive. Every pass he threw was pretty much on the money. I mean, if you look at the incompletion, six of them were dropped, and the other one was just he kind of threw off his back foot a little bit and was behind the receiver, but that was it. He was on point the entire ball game. He made very quick decisions when given the opportunity to run. There was no hesitation. And that's the quarterback we saw basically in November last year, and that's what Tulane needs on a week-in, week-out basis to be really, really good offensively. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention what Justin McMillan did when Banks left right before the end of the third quarter with cramps. And
right,
for McMillan to come in and do what he did with literally not a warm-up, and, you know, Memphis, they're licking their chops defensively because, again, Banks leaves the game, and McMillan, they're going, well, this is the backup quarterback. What has he done? There's no way they're going to throw the football. But he hadn't even warmed up. And so they go zero coverage, Gus. I mean, they sent the house. And Darnell Mooney's left sideline. And when I tell you, and I watched the play a bunch, McMillan took an absolute shot right before he let go of it. And
right,
he stood tall in the pocket, took the hit, and just threw it perfectly to Darnell Mooney, who looked toward the goal line and went, oh, my goodness, there's nobody here. And he just scooted up the left sideline for a touchdown, and what a huge play that was to end the quarter when it looked like Memphis was trying to get back in the ballgame.
You know, you're talking about also the help for the quarterback as well, Todd Graffanini of the Tulane Green Wave at NT Graffs, the way to follow him over on Twitter. You have three different backs, don't you? I mean, Hutterson is kind of a smaller back, kind of, I wouldn't say like a workhorse sort of, but I mean, kind of gets carries, right? You have Bradwell, that's kind of a bigger size, and he took it to the house as well. And Dolphin's the sprinter of the three. All different, but it would be interesting to see if that backfield can all kind of coincide like some of the backfields that Tulane's had in the past.
Well, what we have not seen quite yet is Dolphin and Bradwell in the backfield at the same time. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, you think about it, kind of like a Kamara and an Ingram in the backfield at the same time. And that gives you, if you're a defense, that gives you a couple of different things to think of. Mm-hmm. Now, Steve Berrios and I were talking about it on the broadcast Saturday night. I, you know, and it just came to my mind just, I guess, late third quarter, early fourth quarter when we were really starting to roll it up. And it's this Bradwell and Dolphin or thunder and lightning. I mean, you know, you're going back to the old Saints, Chuck Muncy, Tony Galbraith days, but right. That's the one thing I thought about. I mean, Bradwell's just, he's a big guy who can bulldoze you. However, he can take it to the house. I mean, he's fast enough where if he gets into the open field, it's going to be tough to bring him down. Of course, you know how fast Dolphin is. So I think we also saw a little bit the other night against Memphis that we're starting to get the football to the back in space on passes. And that, again, is only going to help things as you really get into the meat of this schedule. So I like where those two guys are. Bradwell, of course, both those guys were nicked up in fall camp. They were never really fully healthy, and that's why Stephon Hutterson got the bulk of the carries in the first couple of ball games this year. So I think we've seen now what happens, what can happen when Bradwell and Dolphin are fully healthy. I mean, they're very explosive backs.
I think one of the things, obviously, Todd, that, you know, it's just until it's disproven will sort of be the feeling a lot of people have with Tulane. Okay, great, they get a win. Here comes what a lot of people probably expect. Well, back to reality sort of thing. I mean, look, you get the win like you did against Memphis, and your reward is a 5-0 Cincinnati team on the road. Another chance to kind of take that next step in trying to be a program that wins on a consistent level is a game like this that you actually go on the road and win.
I agree 100%. And look, if you're a Tulane fan, last Friday night was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And you saw, again, the potential of what this team could be. Of course, a lot of people were like, well, why didn't you do this in the very beginning? I mean, you're going to hear a bunch of that stuff. But the fact of the matter is they put themselves in a position to go on the road and get a big win. But Tulane fans are also very, very skeptical. And I completely understand it because they've been in this position before only to see the very next week, you know, the team fall flat on its face. So people are cautiously optimistic. I mean, I heard the stat with Gary Smith about the winning three games since 1991 against teams with winning records. It really, even though I've seen them all, Gus, it really did blow my mind. And I was at all three of those games, 96 right. Cincinnati and the Hawaii Bowl and the Houston win back in 2014. That's an incredible statistic, which tells you, no, it's not just, you know, whoever's coaching. Right. You know, Willie Fritz hasn't won road games. Well, just it's been a program type of deal. Tulane needs to go and turn the program around, and a game like Saturday can get you going in the right direction. Because if you can go up there and beat Cincinnati, who's 5-0, they're homecoming, everybody's starting to talk about them now. Right. If you can go up there and do that, you're going to turn a lot of heads in this league. I mean, it's nice being 1-0. 2-0 would be pretty sweet.
Also, Todd, I think it's a challenge to see maybe where your program is in this aspect of it. I heard from players and from Coach Fritz all week. It starts and ends, as Marlon would say, hello, somebody, inside the trenches. This is a game that's going to be won and lost on the lines.
Yeah, and look, I thought Memphis was going to be a lot better than what they were. And I'm giving full credit to Tulane. I mean, they beat Memphis's butt on both sides of the football in the trenches. I think Cincinnati's going to be a little bit better on the offensive and defensive lines. Their defensive line, I think, Gus, is number one in this league. You know, I was talking with Doug Roos today for the Chalk Talk segment of the pregame, and you know, he's telling me this guy Broughton, number 96, is he could play for the other team in Ohio that we played a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, just, you know, let that sink in. But look, I just think going into it, Gus, you've got a team that feels confident, but not cocky. You know, they know that there's a lot of work to do, but a win like that last Friday against a team who they've never had success against in a very, very long time hopefully gets you going in the right direction. And we'll just see. I like where we are now at quarterback because Jonathan Banks played very confident last Friday, making all the right decisions. And now I think we kind of know that if something would happen, we don't want it to, but I think McMillan could come in there and get the job done if he had to do it. So we're much better in the quarterback position than we were at the start of the season.
Ty Graffanini, follow him over on Twitter, at NTGraffs, the way to do so as well. I would ask you about the Saints, but maybe we'll do it on Monday since it is a Monday night football game against the Redskins.
Yep, we got a few days, and I got to deal with baseball too, Gus. So I got a lot on my plate right now.
Yeah, you know what? Must be real nice. Must be real nice for you.
Oh,
must
Gus, wait. Nice. Oh, sorry,
that's
Gus.
That's right. That's
See
right.
See you next year.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
My team choked it away. There he goes. Ty Graffanini is Dodgers. We'll be taking on the Atlanta Braves in the NL Division Series. Yeah, no, I know. The Braves made it. Everybody makes it.
Playoffs in a long time.
Must be nice. You know, that's it. It's all the time we have for you. You're done. Go.
Bye-bye.
There he goes at NT Graph. When we come back, it's time to visit with Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports Odds Makers time. We'll do that when we come back to Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake, 18th in Ridgelake over in Metairie. Stop on by every Thursday we're here. You can have lunch any day of the week, but definitely on Thursdays when we're here as well. I keep mentioning the wings. I keep mentioning the wraps, the burgers, of course, the meatballs, sliders. And don't forget Topgolf. Golden Tee, sorry. I keep saying Topgolf. It's Golden Tee over there on the right where the guys are playing. Plus, there's a Drew Brees autographed jersey that they will raffle off and give away. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit as well. Shuffleboard, do you like it? They got leagues of shuffleboard, darts as well, trivia on Wednesdays, and happy hour 3 to 7 each and every day. That includes the weekend, which means Saturday when LSU takes on Florida at 2:30, happy hour prices on top of the game specials you already have when games are going on. So Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
My lawn's been worn out by summer, not to mention by my kids.
This year, use Scotts in the fall. Just one more feeding gives your grass the nourishment it needs to recover from the wear and tear of summer, while also building resilient roots to help prevent a weak, thin lawn next spring.
This fall, my kids and my grass are back out to play.
This is a Scotts yard. Now's the time to feed your lawn. Pick up a bag of Scotts Winter Guard today.
Honey, isn't it amazing?
What?
The sacrifice, the dedication, the grit. I mean, they really set an example, don't they?
Oh, well, no question. Today's high school athletes are truly special.
Not the athletes.
Well, who?
The officials.
Oh.
Today's student athletes are truly special. But there's something pretty great about the men and women who officiate their games, too. Like the way they're giving back to their communities. Officiating is a terrific way to stay in shape, meet new people, and stay connected to the game you love. But the biggest reason of all? We need more qualified high school officials here in Louisiana. And without them, the rest of us would have a whole lot less to cheer about. High school games need officials. High school sports need you.
Great call!
call, Rob.
Yeah.
Interested in becoming a licensed high school official? Go to highschoolofficials.com to learn more and begin the application process.
Join us for varsity football coverage, 6:30 pregame and 7 o'clock kickoff. Friday, October 5th, South LaFouche travels to Assumption. Our broadcast is sponsored by Mike Colley, candidate for Greater LaFouche Port Commission Seat H, Thibodeau Regional Medical Center, Chris Godin Insurance and Financial Services, Golden Motors, South LaFouche Bank, and John Mellison, candidate for Greater LaFouche Port Commission Seat G. Friday night football on 100.3 FM and 1600 AM KLEB.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Each and every Thursday, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, joins us. Talk a little, into some of the big games coming up during the week. Lee, how are you, man?
Doing well. Gotta save myself. Got the tailgate before the Miami FSU game. That is that's one well of a tailgate. So it's up there. It's like LSU, Alabama.
Right.
I like to see it get back to where the winner usually ends up in the Final Four. But both teams have a little ways to go.
That's what I was going to ask you. So the tailgate's still what it used to be, man. I remember growing up as a kid. That game was an NFL game. I mean, both sides had NFL, not only players, but starters, if not,
right,
eventually Pro Bowlers on those rosters, and they were always close. There were always battles, man. I mean, yeah. I remember even considering going to those schools because of that rivalry. I mean, it's like when they just promoted themselves so much.
Yeah, and the pretty girls probably didn't hurt either, also.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But, it was, that's the way you felt. When you felt you lost, if you lost that game, you thought it was, over for the year. And these kids, though, what happens now is they don't just compete in high school games. They're playing in 7-on-7. They have all these leagues and competitions going on. These kids know each other inside and out. And, Miami has a kid on their team, Weldon, one of the backup quarterbacks. The dad played for Florida State. And remember Brad Johnson? It looks like his son might be coming to Miami next year. So the stakes are ramped up just a little bit more. But I think eventually they're going to get back to being right there.
All right, let's get to the games coming up this week, Lee. We'll start with Texas A&M and Kentucky. The Wildcats, a team definitely no surprise in the SEC, playing very well. A&M, though, still the favorite by 6 points here. What do you see?
I didn't think we'd be talking about Kentucky this late in the season, so we're in uncharted waters. But what do? Kentucky, they run the football and they defend the run. And when you do that, you're going to stay in a lot of games. Also, Mark Stoops, their head coach, remember, he coached at Florida State as defensive coordinator under Jimbo Fisher. So he's probably got a little bit of an idea what Jimbo's going to try to do on offense. Texas A&M, their defense, even though they played Clemson right down to the wire and gave Bama their toughest game, only 2 takeaways all season, and they're just not protecting the home turf of late. 6-13 as a home favorite the last 19 games. I have A&M winning this game 26-24, but 6 points, I think it's too much. I'll take Kentucky here.
Wow. All right. Yeah. LSU in Florida, a little bit up the road from where you're at, man. And, look, I'm surprised. It's fluctuated, right? 2-3 yesterday, then it back down to 2.5 I've seen. But they're predicting it to be a close game.
Well, neither team is one of these teams that's going to explode for 40 or 50 points in this game, in my opinion. The Florida run offense, just 128 and 118 rushing yards against Kentucky and Mississippi State. So you got to figure they're probably going to be in that 80 to 120-yard rushing motif for this game. LSU offense, not fancy, but only 3 turnovers in 5 games here. It looks like Florida needs those turnovers to fuel their scoring. Florida plus 9 in turnover ratio, 3rd nationally. So they've also, Florida has not faced a top 50 offense. And how about this stat? In the day and age where every quarterback's thrown for 300 or 400 yards, Felipe Franks has gotten under center for 16 career starts. He's only passed for more than 200 yards 4 times out of those 16 starts. That's not going to get it done. Joe Burrow, he's already passed for 249 in that big win against Auburn. Give me LSU, 23-17.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. You can check him out on Twitter at Paramount Sports. And you can go online, at ParamountSports.com. Cincinnati and Miami. Let's talk a little bit about this game here as we move on over to the NFL.
Cincinnati, Tulane.
Oh, I got you. Cincinnati and Tulane. All right.
Yep.
One of the things that you look at there, Lee, is a game where the Green Wave got that big win against Memphis. And a lot of people thought that was going to happen. But now here's your reward, a 5-0 Bearcat team.
Yeah, when not overmatched, Tulane can move the chains on offense. And the Cincinnati offense, not real explosive here either. And the Tulane defense has already faced Ohio State, Memphis, and Wake Forest, three much better offenses here. Five of the top six wide receivers for Cincinnati. Just in that 11 to 13 yards per catch average. So not real explosive. Tulane, a 67% spread play the last 18 games under head coach Willie Fritz. This team is so far ahead from when he took over. Cincinnati is better as an underdog. Just 2-6 against the spread as a favorite since 2016. I like the extra day to prepare for this game. I'm going to say Cincinnati wins the game 28-24, but Tulane covers.
All right, to the NFL we go. Carolina and the Giants. Saints just saw the Giants, of course, a week ago. Carolina had a bye. They're seven-point favorites.
Yeah, Carolina was idle, but they shored up the secondary. Good move by signing Eric Reed. I think he was by far the best safety on the market here. I think that's a morale boost for this team here. The Panthers also entered this bye week, the NFL leading the NFL in rushing. So people don't realize that they run the ball that well. And Cam Newton, passer rating of a 105 and 108 in the last two games here. This New York Giants team has got some real problems here on the offensive line. I think they thought that bringing in Barkley was going to help out Eli, but the offensive line is worse, and it's just when you don't have an offensive line, you just don't have much of an offense here. Let's go with Carolina. I think they win this game here easy, 27-13.
That's not what we want to hear, because the Saints take on the Redskins coming up on Monday Night Football, 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah, New Orleans here giving up 30 points per game despite playing four opponents whose combined record is just 5-10-1, and none of those teams holds a winning record here. Losing their slot cornerback, Patrick Robinson, not going to be good news at all. Alex Smith, a lot of experience here. I think that's where they're going to try to attack here. Also, they will be coming in here off the bye, and Adrian Peterson, that has to help him. 33 years old, he's fifth in the NFL right now in rushing. So I think New Orleans has too much offense here for Washington, but I think it's going to be close. I have New Orleans winning 31-28, but the Redskins covering the 6.5 to 7.
All right, Auburn taking on Mississippi State. That's your game of the week. How can folks get involved on that?
Just call me here at the office, 800-400-9741. First 10 callers will get Auburn, Mississippi State. What a big game this here is. Pretty much an elimination game for Auburn if they lose this game. And how about this, Gus? For the first time, I'm going to be selling UFC selections for the big fight coming up on Saturday night. So you want to find out what's going on in that. We have five selections, the main card. Friend of mine, turns out, former MMA fighter. He fought at one of the big gyms in Coconut Creek, and he's been coming over my house, and we had him pick 23 fights over the entire summer. He went 19-4, so for the first time ever, you can purchase the main card, all five selections. Just go to ParamountSports.com. You want to get the sports picks on the football. You can buy picks for the weekend, monthly, or for the season. Everything's all available this weekend. It's a huge weekend. It's all available at ParamountSports.com.
Appreciate it as always, man. Look forward to talking again next weekend.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
There he goes, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. Quick break. We come back over here at Vinny's. We'll talk to Jason a little bit more about these games coming up over the weekend as well. Plus, next hour, Garland Gillen will make his picks at 2:30. Plus, some more from head coach Sean Payne. He had plenty to say in his conference call. We'll address that next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
The new week of college football and the NFL kick off on Thursday night, and we're here to feel that kick with Game Time. Thursday nights, join me and John Forcade as we come to you live every Thursday night from the Dock and Slidell, 118 Harborview Court. Come on out Thursday nights and be a part of the show. We can simply enjoy the Dock's delicious menu with such favorites as Oysters Rockefeller, char-grilled oysters, and the classic stuffed crab. And no, we didn't forget drink specials. So join us Thursday nights at the Dock, 118 Harborview Court in Slidell, 6 to 8 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
Thinking about new floors? Don't pay retail. Shop where the dealers buy at New Orleans Flooring Distributors, where the products are direct from the manufacturer and now open to the public, offering South Louisiana high-quality flooring products at prices that cannot be beat, from hardwood to vinyl to carpet. So whether you're building your dream home or just fixing up, call New Orleans Flooring Distributors today, 504-249-6394, 504-249-6394, or visit them on LNA Road off Airline and Metairie and online at nolaflooring.com.
Home IQ from Vision Communications is smarter security and home automation. From your smartphone, tablet, or PC, activate and monitor your security system, lock and unlock your doors, view and record video, control your thermostat and lights, all on one easy-to-use app and website. With Vision's Home IQ, home is where your handheld is. Visit viscom.net/homeIQ to learn more. Louisiana license F1256.
The Dock in Slidell is more than a restaurant. It's an experience that includes great food and drinks, a live music venue, beach volleyball, and more. And the sunsets at the Dock, well, they're memorable, with the beautiful waterfront scenery along Lake Pontchartrain. Come experience it all at the Dock in Slidell while enjoying their famous seafood nachos or the classic shrimp and grits. And you gotta try their delicious craft cocktails, live music, food, drink, and sunsets. All at the Dock, your new family-friendly destination in Slidell.
Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic has moved to the new Lady of the Sea Cutoff Clinic, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano. The same After Hours staff will continue to see patients from 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends with no appointment necessary. Now the convenience of a walk-in clinic with a pharmacy at the same location is available for our community. Same provider in a new environment. Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic, here when you need us.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. We're live at Vinny's 3217. Cajun Goat still hanging out. You want to come stop by? Say hi. Come on, Cajun Goat. Come on. At ESPN Radio NOLA as well is the way to chime in. Couple of questions of the day we have thrown out there for you if you'd like to chime in, including tonight's game. The NFL new week does kick off, and it is, of course, New England and the Patriots. I just wanted to know if anybody was going to think about the Colts. 23% out of about 50 votes going with the Colts. 77 with the Patriots right now. Also, another question that we threw out there. What is the biggest story heading into the Saints Monday night game against the Redskins? I threw a couple out. This is the return of Adrian Peterson to face the Saints. And he has a little something interesting to say back on Monday that I'll touch on right now. The return of Mark Ingram. Sean Payton this morning in his conference call said it's a very big deal that he's back, especially for Alvin Kamara. Redskins D versus Saints O. Or is the storyline the all-time passing record that Drew Brees with 201 yards will break? Right now, all-time passing record leading almost 100 votes, 48%. The return of Mark Ingram, 43%. Poor Adrian Peterson just getting 1% of a big storyline from voters. And 8% have Redskins D versus the Saints O. So go to ESPN Radio NOLA on Twitter. You can check in and do that. Cajun Goat, man, you've been hanging out here having a little lunch. What'd you
get?
Yeah,
man. Look, the food is great. Mm-hmm. Gus always picks the best places to eat, man, I swear.
What did you get?
I got the meatballs. The meatball,
the sliders.
Sliders, right. Yeah. They were delicious.
Pretzel bun.
Oh, my God.
Did I?
You can't even eat the fries after.
I was going to say, did I kind of do it justice by saying it's a blanket of mozzarella on it?
Oh,
it's not like a
God.
Few little shreds of shredded mozzarella.
No. This is like a whole slice of, yeah, right? Oh my God, it's delicious.
It is
delicious,
solid, isn't it?
Man. Look, y'all need to come over here and eat. I can tell y'all that now. It's delicious.
I'll be honest. You know, if it wasn't, I wouldn't say it. You know, I just wouldn't be like, hey, come on out and have a good time. But I specifically mentioned certain dishes, I've probably tried them, and they're good. What I like about the chicken wings, like a lot of places have wings, right? Mm-hmm. There's wing places that you go get your wings. There's something about the batter. It's crispy, yet it's like juicy inside the chicken, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I can't explain it. Try some wings next time. You'll see what I'm
doing. And I tell you what, the poppers are good, too. I got the jalapeno poppers.
Nice.
Look, I'm really picky on them, and I tell you what, they're delicious.
Isn't
they
that like one of the best tailgate things? Some people love this, like, stuffed jalapenos, or like mm-hmm. you talking about the poppers. See them a lot when people, like, fry stuff out at tailgates. Do you have a favorite tailgate food?
It would be the poppers. That's my favorite one, to be honest with you. I love jalapenos. So if you do them right, I'll eat them up, man. And those were done right. They really did a great job with
and
them.
And I guess people.
And they got great
that.
Service over here too. They did a great job.
Zoe's awesome, man.
Yeah,
she's on top
service.
Of it.
Great service.
One of the things that obviously you always chime in on Twitter here as well, not only fantasy football, but with all the different teams. So let's kind of do a little round table discussion since
all
you're
right,
here, man. Let's
ahead.
Do it. Let's start with obviously the game. Coming up on Saturday, got a couple of them, in particular LSU and Florida. You heard the guy that covers the Gators said, hey, look, you know, maybe both teams don't particularly trust their quarterbacks to win them the game, but they need to help them win the game. How do you feel this game is on Saturday?
Well, I don't think Florida's went against a defense like LSU's with the speed yet. I mean, they struggled against Mississippi State, and I don't really think Mississippi State's defense is as good as LSU's. So I think they're going to have a lot of turnovers for Florida because they're still learning the system with the new coach. So that's why I think LSU is just going to go in there and dominate that game.
So you don't think it'll be one of the close games then?
No, I don't think it's going to be a close game. I think Burroughs is getting better every week.
Right.
And a guy with confidence like that can beat anybody.
I'll say one of the things that I think I'm looking forward to seeing too is, and again, I know it's one game, but the poise that they showed against Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And where you didn't see a ton of, you know, just mental, you never got the sense and feeling at the moment was too big for a lot of that team. And there were a lot of question marks on that team on the offensive side, whether it's the line, the young receivers, which of the backs are going to step up. That's 3 weeks ago. You've had two games since then. And I think to me, like I talked with Chris Blair in hour one, I do see the LSU offense growing by the week. And I think it starts with Burroughs, man. I just, that confidence level from the get-go, you know, after the Miami game, it's like everyone's saying we got 5-6 wins in us. We're going to show you. I think that permeates. So I think he's one of those rare players that looks forward to going to an opposing team and seeing people flip up the bus and, you know, shout obscenities. Mm-hmm. He probably raises his hands and he wants it louder. You know what I'm getting at?
Right. And this is an amazing stat. He hasn't thrown an interception all year, too. This guy's got a lot of poise, man. He comes in and,
right.
and he's got the swagger, the attitude, and I think he's going to get better as they go, and next year they're even going to be more of a threat.
It'll be interesting to see how much more they grow next year for sure, obviously. And that 2019 class that everyone's talking about that Coach O is getting, the more to keep playing well like this. And look, if you go undefeated into that Georgia game, play Georgia well, even if you do lose. Give a good game to Bama. Maybe win some of those other games other than those two, but show them that you're competitive with those two teams. Not that there's any worry that some of these commitments that are verbal don't turn into signatures,
yep.
But you show you're on the right track and you show, look, this is what it can be like. There won't be any wavering. And that was my big concern coming into this year. Yeah, that's great. Everyone's talking about the upcoming class you got. You go get hammered by teams that are in the national championship contention and they're recruiting those same guys. What do you think is going to happen? You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
That's why I thought it was important to see them play well. So to me, I that's what's been the most impressive aspect of it.
It is. And I think the biggest thing you can't really – I think why people don't invest in LSU all the way yet is because of the front line on both sides of the ball. They're very thin. It can take two or three plays and then, you know, the main line is gone and that's just going to hurt you. Right. I think all their – what do they call skill players – they're pretty deep at the skill player position, you know, other than quarterback. But, the skill player position, I think they're pretty deep. So as long as that line holds up, I think they're going to be fine. I actually really believe they're going to beat Georgia, too. What I like is the poise of the quarterback. You don't see college quarterbacks not get rattled when they get hit. A lot of these guys that's supposed to be top prospects, you'll notice them getting rattled. But this guy here, man, he really doesn't get rattled. Burroughs, he'll just yell right back at him. He hit him hard. He yells at him, hit me harder. So, I mean, I think they got a good thing going.
Speaking with Cajun Goat, decided to stop by and have a little lunch here over at Vinny's. 3217 Ridge Lake in Metairie, super easy to find. And like I said, look, I get it, it's a bar, but it's a really good place to have food, too, as well. Oh, kitchen, by the way, stays open all the way to 4 a.m. each and every day as well. So let's get to the Saints-Redskins game. Some of the storylines that I just threw up there, return of Peterson, return of Ingram, Redskins D versus the Saints, so they're pretty good. They've only committed 3 turnovers as well. Or the Drew Brees all-time passing record. What do you think, of all of those, the top storyline going into that game?
Really and truly, I don't think any of those are the top storyline.
Okay.
The top storyline is the Saints killer is Alex Smith. What's our record against Alex Smith? I don't believe it's that great.
I'm not bringing that because you're right. They,
and I mean, not just in the playoff game, just a playoff game. I'm talking about regular season games. We lost him when he was in KC.
Yep.
He's done well against us for some reason
or
another.
Captain Dink and Dunk. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about him. You can't get interceptions off of him because the ball doesn't travel more than 3 to 5 yards, but he does it effectively. He doesn't get frustrated or try to push it. It's just, I think if you call the offense right, which is why, again, to me, stop the run game, stop Peterson, and then tackle, because they're going to move the ball up and down the field.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give them in between the 20s,
right?
Because he's going to dink and dunk, but you have to make tackles. You got to limit a 3-yard pass to 5 yards, right, if he falls forward. You can't have 3 turn into 13.
You can't let him come in and be the Buccaneers quarterback and run on you, because that's what he got. That's what he did to us. You know, he came in and Fitzpatrick ran for first downs, and you cannot let him do that. I think that's the biggest key of the game. Do not let him get out of the pocket. I think if you keep him in the pocket, we'll be fine. We'll win the game. We'll have a good game. But if they let him get out of the pocket, that's going to be the story of the game right there.
I'll ask you this, because it is obviously a storyline nationally going into that game. It's the Drew Brees all-time passing record. Where do you put him with all the quarterbacks that you've seen?
Oh, Drew Brees is at least, to me, in my head, and just being a fan, but
uh-huh.
I think he's the best quarterback of all time. Once he passes those records, which he's going to pass every
uh-huh.
record. Now, if I was Chris Sims, he wouldn't be the top 10
right.
quarterback
exactly.
in the NFL.
Yeah, you still haven't let
or
that
if
go
I was
up.
The Albright guy,
right.
The Saints ain't nothing but 16th in the league.
Right.
But, I mean, he is the best quarterback in the league, and I think they do that to him because of his size.
You know, it is crazy because right now, at the tail end of his career, and I say tail end only because, look, he's only got 3, 4, 5 years, whatever. You are hearing a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best. It's nuts to think when you look at when he was throwing 40 TDs and 39, 37s, no one ever put him in the top 5, man. No one ever talked about it. And now after, you get all these national guys going, man, maybe we should have been talking about him a lot more during it. But again, and I've said this, when your team doesn't go to the playoffs as many times as the Saints haven't in the Brees-Peyton era, that's the thing that hurts.
I'll give you one last thing about it. Drew Brees played in an era where the quarterback could get hit.
Yeah.
So he took the beating, and now he doesn't have to take a beating.
Uh-huh. So you think he can play a little longer?
I think 5 more years.
Cajun Goat, man, thanks for stopping by. I really
right,
do
man.
Appreciate
Thank
that,
you.
Man. For sure. There he is. A little analysis from him. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.